Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. This is our first hour of Galesburg Live on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. Normally, as you may know, with Galesburg's Evening News, weeknights from 5 to 6 p.m. among, as I like to say, other duties as assigned. But glad to be with you when I get the chance to come in here at Galesburg Live on Saturday mornings. We have a couple of great conversations, as always, planned for this morning. In our second hour, we'll visit with Jennifer Junis, president of OSF St. Mary Medical Center. She's been on the job a little while now, so we'll find out how she's fitting in and how things are going with her and some of the expansions and changes and things going on at the hospital. That'll be coming up in our second hour this morning. But in this first hour, I'd been thinking about talking about this for a long time, and I think sometimes I get a little worked up about things related to the media if you listen to me on Galesburg's Evening News from time to time. So I thought maybe we'd expand on a discussion about the media and journalism and newspapers and all those things, especially with all of us in journalism being the, quote, enemy of the people these days. One of the biggest enemies I know, then, is Tom Martin, the editor of the Galesburg Register-Mail, who's in studio. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Will?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for coming in.
No problem.
This is going to be a treat, and we'll talk about whether or not we really are the enemy of the people. Spoiler alert, we're not, later on. But I thought I'd start out. I know, how long have you been with the Register-Mail now?
This year it's 15.
Oh, my goodness.
15 years.
You've been around here as long as I have, it seems, pretty
much. Is that right?
Now. Yeah, that right? Although I've been here three times over 16 years, but that's...
It seems to me that you've been here forever, Will.
It seems to me like I've been here forever, too. No, I'm kidding. But talk a little bit about, for folks who may not know, even though you're probably one of the hardest working people in show business these days, what led you to Galesburg and to being the editor of the Register-Mail?
I came to Galesburg for the editor position. Mm-hmm. And so I've got about 25 years in journalism. Started at a weekly newspaper in Carthage, Illinois.
Yeah.
Went to Macomb and then ended up at Princeton at the Bureau County Republican.
Ah,
and
yes.
Then took a position here in Galesburg and started a family and just really like it here.
I knew you were familiar with the region, at least, when you came here. So I imagine that probably helps when you kind of go from, well, I don't want to say town to town, up and down the dial, because that's my gig. But
yeah,
but
there for a while, it felt like we were on the Illinois Zephyr route, Macomb, Princeton, and Galesburg.
Yeah, that's true. Did you start out as a reporter?
I did. I started out as a reporter. I started out as a stringer for the Quincy Herald Whig.
Okay.
Then got a part-time job at a weekly newspaper in Carthage, the Hancock County Journal Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the editor left, and somehow they thought maybe I was worthy of that position. And so that's just kind of when things took off for me in journalism, and I had a journalism degree. But I think it wasn't until I had my hands in all parts of the journalism, like you do in a weekly paper, that really struck a chord with me.
Did that kind of led you to say, hey, maybe I can continue being an editor, and even going from sort of a weekly paper to a daily?
Yeah. I just fell in love with journalism. And shortly after I had become the editor, there was the Mississippi River flood of 1993. It was like a 100-year flood. And so that was really a big story for us. And it was exciting to cover it. And really, I didn't turn back since then. It was just looked for the next story to tell.
What would you say is the biggest thing then, biggest story you've been a part of in your career? Was it that flood? Was it, for me, I always kind of point to the O.T. Johnson fire here downtown, or was it something else?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure I have a quick answer. The O.T. Johnson fire was certainly big. When I was in Princeton, there was a sheriff who there were several felony indictments of, and
that's right. I remember
the Bureau Journal Star and the Bureau County Republican and the LaSalle News Tribune were all sort of writing stories regularly, kind of uncovering. It started out as a raffle that the sheriff had, and then nobody actually won the cash or the motorcycle that was supposed to be raffled. So that was an exciting story. And the sheriff got put out of office, and Anyway, that was a pretty big one.
I'm from Henry County, so I vaguely remember that going on in Bureau County nearby. But, you know, that kind of speaks, and we'll probably talk more about this as we go on, to kind of what journalism is all about, despite, I think, belief among the public these days. You kind of stumble across something that maybe sounds a little suspicious, and you dig and you dig and you dig and you uncover things, and it, in that case, I imagine probably turned out to be a lot more than you could have anticipated it would be.
Yeah, we sure didn't have any idea. You know, we had some suspicions when we started down that road. The LaSalle paper was the first one to ask the question, who won the raffle, and then we followed, and then the sheriff basically lied to us and told us who it was, and he made up a name.
So what was he doing? Is he basically pocketing the money or something?
I think they used, I don't know exactly what happened to the money, but he had concocted this figure, and so we searched the planet basically for this person and found him not to exist.
As a reporter, when you go through something like that, or if I were going through something like that, I should back up before I forget and say, I like to tell people that I started at WGIL 10 days before the Maytag announcement. And as a kid that was fresh out of college and trying to learn to be a reporter, that was a really big deal. And although I joke the day of the announcement, I was sent to Knox College for something completely unrelated, which I still scratch my head about to this day. But anyway, when you uncover something like that as a reporter, is it adrenaline as you go through the process? Is it sort of maybe excitement at what you're uncovering? Is it a sense of disappointment over, you know, an elected official trying to be shady? Is it all those things as a reporter?
Yeah, I think it is all those things. You know, there is some adrenaline and excitement. The moment that I knew the sheriff in Bureau County had lied to me, and I had my publisher with me, we both had gone, and so then he had said a certain figure had handed over the money to this made up person. And so we, you know, I immediately got to the office and called this guy, and he's like, I didn't touch any money. And and then I knew that we really had a story that needed to be told. But it is, you know, then when you step back, you feel things aren't working the way they're supposed to. So, yeah. But I guess that's the role of journalism. And, you know, we don't do those kinds of stories every day, but when they come along, there were three print media, three newspapers that were there digging into things left and right until the attorney general's prosecutors are in my office asking me how I found out what I found out.
And I imagine, you're essentially, it's kind of a small town, almost a small town newspaper. You just want to know who won the raffle so you can go take their picture,
yes,
right?
Yes. Yes.
Let's back up. How have things, from your perspective, at least in terms of print journalism, changed from when you started to now? And I realize that might be kind of a loaded question, just in terms of from both technology and social media and how immediate you kind of have to be versus maybe you had to in the past.
Let me back up for just a second because I forgot to say Maytag when you asked me about big stories.
Yeah,
and you mentioned that you got here and then they made the Maytag announcement.
I
was the guy who came after the Maytag announcement.
Yeah.
So then we were sort of tasked with how do we tell this story? We already know it's happening, but when they finally shut down the lines, how do we tell that story?
Yeah.
And then we ended up doing a mosaic made up of the workers' faces and ran that on the front page.
That was that. I remember that. That was so, you know, as an audio guy, seeing the visual of just that mosaic alone was so amazing.
Yeah.
And
well,
so
thank you.
So helped to tell the story.
Right. And that's really there's a lot of different ways to tell a story. And that was a story of everybody already knows the jobs are going away. Mm-hmm. So how can we tell that story? That's got to be one of the big stories that I've had in my career. Moving on to changes in the newspaper business, man, they have been many.
Do you need more than an hour to go through these?
Yeah, I would just say that they have been very quick the last 10 years, especially, and maybe even the last 5 years. Newspapers just the business model isn't there to support the newspapers of old, and that's hard for us, and it's hard for people to come to grips with. But the advertising just didn't shift over to the internet. The news plays there fine. Now suddenly we're doing video, and we're broadcasting on scenes. So we're doing some of the things that you're doing now.
Yeah.
But we have fewer people.
Yeah, I was going to say, and it's a lot of that the same way with radio, at least in terms of, you know, I don't mean this the way it's going to sound, big corporations gobbling up all these smaller entities, and then you're kind of, in some ways, kind of forced to do more with less, I imagine.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's pretty standard across the industry. Just newspapers, by and large, are about half the size they were 10 years ago. And
is that a hard thing to explain to the public that, that you know, the newspaper you're used to is probably not going to be the newspaper you're used to for very long?
Yeah, yeah, I think it is. And, you know, I feel like I'm always tasked to take what few resources we have and get the most out of those. Mm-hmm. So when somebody will say, who's your proofreader? And I know what's behind that. There are mistakes every day in the newspaper where we might used to have four or five people proofreading a page. We have one set of eyes now on the stories. And often those set of eyes have seen multiple stories, thousands and thousands of words in a very short amount of time. So it's just we can't be that newspaper anymore. And so we have to decide, what do we strive for? Do we strive for telling the stories of the community? And we can't really – one of the big changes, I think, Will, is we can't really cover government in the way that we used to, in that we would just put a reporter at every meeting.
Yeah.
You know, really what we found is that those stories are boring and most people don't read them, and there'll be nuggets in those stories that can lead to stories. And so we try to focus a little bit more on those nuggets. And if it's a story that you would tell somebody, it's a story we should write. So we call that enterprise reporting, where we take an issue and kind of dig into it and try to add some context and see if it's part of a trend. And so that's really the – I guess that's the song that I sing to my staff every day.
Yeah. On the one hand, you kind of have to dig for those stories and inside those meetings, but kind of tell those stories versus just saying, "Hey, here this meeting happened today. Here's what happened." But on the other hand, I sometimes wonder if that I think we used to maybe kind of do more of that explanation, because I don't think people understood government maybe in the way that we thought they might. And sometimes I wonder that as you kind of have to think of different ways to tell a story, that maybe, you know, that people still don't have that understanding of like how government works or how the court system works or things like that.
Yeah, I think it is sort of inside baseball sometimes with journalists, and we feel like everybody already knows the things that we know or how things work. And really the task that we have is to explain what the importance of something is and what it means to the people who are reading our story. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges right now is just people are bombarded with information or things to spend their time with. So in the past, it might be, who's your competitor? Who's the other newspaper in your area? Who's the radio station? Who else is doing news? Now our competition is people's time.
Really? Yeah.
And so what we have to be is compelling. And if we're not compelling, we're just not going to take a slice of people's time. And we do have some we have subscribers and readers who are very loyal. And, you know, I get calls. I don't have anything to do with paper delivery, but I'll get a call from people who didn't get their paper, and they want their paper. And they depend on it as part of their morning routine. Used to be their afternoon routine, but
that's kind of like on our end of radio station. Sometimes if we have, like, say, a problem with the transmitter, somebody will call us and say, "Do you know you're off the air?" No, I honestly had no idea. I'm not listening to the station at my desk or at the control board here or whatever. So it's funny that you kind of get the same calls we do from time to time, I think.
You know, and I, I try to take that as a positive sign that, okay, well, it's a negative that we didn't get them their paper, and that happens too many times.
It shows that they care.
It does show that they care. And, you know, I've done a few I started a couple months back having meetings with the editor, coffee in the community. And they've been lightly attended, but the people who have shown up, they really care about the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Most of them feel like it's a good newspaper. It's a worthwhile newspaper. I felt like maybe there would be more criticism out there. And all I have to do is look on Facebook to see the criticism. So,
and I want to talk about that and other things in a few minutes, but we need to take a break right now for news that we did not get out of the newspaper, along with the weather and sports and other information. And we'll be back and talk more with Tom Martin, editor of the Galesburg Register-Mail, as we continue on Galesburg Live on the Saturday morning at WGIL. Good morning. News is next.
Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning and welcome back to Galesburg Live on WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. In our next hour, Jennifer June is president of OSF St. Mary Medical Center, joins us. We'll have her conversation and our conversation with our guest this hour on our website, WGIL.com. If you miss any part of them, just scroll down to the on-air conversation section after 9 o'clock, and that's when we will post those interviews, including with the editor of the Galesburg Register-Mail, Tom Martin. Again, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, Will.
I kind of maybe smarmily, when I went to break, said something about news we didn't get in the newspaper. And I just have to tell you, and you can maybe reflect on this, and I guess this might go under the heading of imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, I guess. And also another reason why I'm glad I'm not a manager here at the station anymore. I used to get a constant criticism from a listener who would tell me as news director that the only news that I should report on a daily basis was what was in the newspaper and absolutely nothing else. And I could not impress upon him enough. That's not really how, again, as imitation might be the sincerest form of flattery, that's not how journalism works.
Yeah, that was a wicked smart caller that you had, right?
Yeah, I'll get him your number.
I think we have a good competition is good, and I think we do have a competition when we see you've gotten a story that yeah. we haven't. A lot of times with us is we don't have that competitive spirit where, oh, we need to get this up online immediately.
Uh-huh.
There's the WGIL has this report. So what exactly are we waiting on? And so, in the newspaper business, you have to change that culture from this is for tomorrow's paper to this is now.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard thing to impress upon myself, the editors, and the reporters. So,
and we've kind of gone through some of that here over the years too, as we've kind of expanded our web presence too. So I think a lot of the way we, and I imagine it is with you too, the way you plan stories, the way you tell stories, how much of a story you tell, and how you go about that process has changed through no other thing than the internet, right?
Yeah, right. It opens up a lot. So while the internet changed the business model that no longer can support the big newsroom, it really does give us a lot of opportunities to tell the news with videos and photo galleries. Steve Davis is out there,
yeah,
cranking out photo galleries, and they're just wonderful pictures. And it's a good way to tell about an event without a lot of words.
I'm still learning how to resize the one photo I take from a story, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So, the internet's a real opportunity for us to provide layers of coverage that we just couldn't do before. And so it's a constant challenge.
Speaking of constant challenges, I asked you earlier about maybe how your role and how things have changed for you over the years. You're not just editor of the Register-Mail. You're looking at six other newspapers every day.
Yeah, well, I'm not always looking at them every day, but I do oversee six other dailies in the area, and they're all really from counties that connect with ours: Monmouth, Macomb, Canton, Kewaunee, Pontiac's the far reaches. I think I left somebody out probably, but anyway,
yeah.
Then we have about 12, 14, I guess 14 weeklies, 12 of them go online, 14 altogether. So, wow. So I kind of help the company, with the initiatives, and you know, the initiatives are mostly how to staff those newspapers, and how to modernize and be digital. That seems to be the big challenge is to get all of our newsrooms, doing Facebook Live, doing the kinds of things that current newspapers have to do to be relevant.
And I imagine a lot of synergy, too, or at least content sharing with some of those other outlets or sharing between papers, right?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things, Pekin is one of the papers I didn't mention that's part of our group. Mm-hmm. So we used to do quarterly projects, and now we're ramping it up to do monthly projects where we take a trend story and we try to look at it with these seven newspapers. We'll all do some local dig into the topic locally. So we did we wanted to see assessed value, the property values in each of the counties that we cover. Has it gone up since 10 years ago when we had the recession? And what we found is the counties that depended on agriculture were the ones where we saw the big increases, and so the ones that were depending on commercial and housing were not seeing that.
I used to tell people when I started that I wish the college I went to had spent more time explaining the property tax structure to me. Probably would have been much better off at certain points.
Wish I had another word other than assessed value, because people glaze over as soon as you mention that. Even my reporters are like, "Oh, don't give me that story."
Yeah.
It's basically your property worth in the way it's the way they determine the tax rate that you're going to pay.
I felt like I wanted to quit right after I started, after covering a school board meeting where the school district was discussing their property tax levy. And I was like, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. And you're using terms like EAV and stuff.
Yeah.
And what does this mean for a homeowner's property tax bill? And I didn't understand any of it at first.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's... So we try to do that. Then we'd have each newspaper sort of dig into their county and get their numbers, and mm-hmm. then we'll have usually somebody from Galesburg sort of do an overarching story about growth and what's happening in West Central Illinois.
And that allows for, I imagine, a lot of collaboration and things like that you might not have otherwise been able to do before, right?
Yeah, right. It does. It adds to what we can do, and I'm really a big fan of regional stories and trend stories, and thinking about why something is the way it is, and then and trying to find some data to tell that story. We really try to push with these kinds of projects to find out what do the numbers say? Can we quantify this? Because you know, it's nice to have anecdotes, but you really want to look and try to find some evidence of whatever story is that you're telling.
And the next of those projects that you're telling me is retail sales that you're working on?
Yeah, and that one's got a ways to go yet, but you can find basically sales tax numbers from the IRS. And so we can look at each of the towns and find out, and we're going to doing a 10-year look there as well, to find out what sectors actually have grown and which ones have not grown over that past 10 years. And then we can compare them to other cities in our market, but then also cities that are comparable in the state.
I'm going to take another break here. I'm a little early for it, but I don't think I have enough time in this segment to get to the next issue I do, which is something that's been kind of, again, as I alluded to in the beginning in the news this week, about whether or not all of us in journalism are enemies of the people or not. So I'll make sure we have plenty of time to talk about that and some other things with Register Mail editor Tom Martin when we come back as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday here at WGIL. Good morning. Back with Galesburg Live on WGIL, I'm Will Stevenson. We're talking with Tom Martin, the editor of the Galesburg Register Mail, this hour. Next hour, Jennifer Junis of OSF St. Mary Medical Center joins us. Tom, are we really the enemy of the people? I'm just going to come out and ask.
I don't think I am, Will, but maybe you are. I don't know.
Well, you know, I am on a radio station that airs conservative talk programming, so I can understand why somebody might suggest that.
Yes, at least. Yes, you're the enemy of some people, maybe, and I'm the enemy of other people.
You know, and we bring that up because the president has made, frankly, a lot of noise with that. That, frankly, I think is unjustified. And this week, over 300 newspapers, including the Register Mail, coordinated and all wrote editorials saying, hey, we're good guys, basically.
Yeah, so the Boston Globe sort of arranged it, and they sent out email to newspapers and said, hey, we're coordinating an effort to respond to the president's claim that journalists are the enemy of the people. So if you want to participate, you can participate. They said, we don't want to supply any information or write the thing for you. It's up to you to write your piece. So we participated in that. We did an editorial. It's not the first editorial I've done or that the Register Mail has done about this issue. But we felt like maybe the collective voice would be louder and stronger and matter more.
I ask that because, and I think that we should, you know, as journalists, continue to tell people that, hey, we're just here to, you know, a lot of us are here just to tell people about what happened at their school board or city council meetings or uncover corruption and crime and things like that. But I almost wonder sometimes if we're preaching to the choir too much. I think that sometimes that those of us or people who like the media, and those who don't, you're not going to change their minds.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll change minds in this particular thing. I would agree with you. And this was in the editorial. I mean, we're a local newspaper. We care about the local news. The White House isn't something we cover. It's not, you know, we use AP stories when we think that there's a story big enough to get in the newspaper. But we live and die by the local news. And so everybody who subscribes to the Register Mail, I hope, understands that. And that's the reason they subscribe.
You know, and I think about that, too, because I've long feared that sort of anti-media sentiment has been kind of seeping down to the local level at an perhaps unjustifiably so. And I was thinking the other day, our former news director, Tyler Bachman, a kid who I'm happy to say I hired, thank you very much, who's gone on to do great things up in the suburbs, tells a story that I think he was at a scene of either an accident or something with your reporter, Robert Connolly, and somebody drove by, rolled down their window, and yelled fake news at the both of them.
Yeah.
So I think that's the exact, I think it's just kind of seeping more local, and it's just,
yeah,
it hurts, frankly.
It's, I think it's important to unpack things a little bit. The Register Mail, our editorial isn't attacking Donald Trump. We're not against Trump. What we're saying is that...
Oh, but really you're attacking Trump even if you say you're not attacking Trump,
well,
right?
In some people's minds. But really, we're just refuting what he has said about the media and journalism, and that's something we know about. And so the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, these are solid newspapers.
Yes.
for a century.
Even though the president refers to the New York Times as failing every
yes,
chance he gets.
Right, right. So yeah. The news obviously isn't fake. And I think there are times when you can point out to a story that you didn't gather enough information, you didn't get the other side to this. And that happens all the time. We do it, and when somebody calls in, we try to fix it, rectify it.
Same here, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how you handle that. You don't take a whole institution and take its knees, cut its knees out from under it by saying it's the enemy of the people or calling it fake.
Going back to something we were talking about earlier, you mentioned that on the other hand, you need to look no further than perhaps either our comment section or the Register Mail's comment section on Facebook or whatever to see a lot of people that are a lot of cynical or critical even either of journalism or generally cynical about how city government operates or how the court system works or things like that. That seems like that's going to be a never-ending uphill battle to try to explain those sorts of things.
Yeah, I don't see that turning around anytime soon. And it's just out there, and there are people who are very skeptical of what we do, and I think skepticism is good. That's what I said in the editorial. But let's be skeptical also of someone who says that journalism is the enemy of the people. Let's use some skepticism there too. That's not gonna change. And you know, I'm happy to have people on our Facebook page criticize things that we do. You know, it doesn't make me gleeful, but I'm glad that we have some interaction there. I'm glad that we have a forum there. I think that's really important for a community.
I constantly have to sit back and think about that because maybe I'm just too emotional of a person these days, or I'm too passionate about what I do, or I take things unnecessarily personally at times. But I sometimes have to sit back and think about that as, you know, hey, we could have, you know, people that don't give a darn about anything we do.
We can, I think that is kind of a difficult part of the whole deal. The thing that I really wish is that I know that we have a wide swath of people in the middle politically.
Yes.
Who don't write me letters, who don't, weigh in on Facebook. And I feel like we don't hear from them, but I know that they're out there.
They always used to tell us in radio that you only ever hear from about 1% of your listenership, and that the remaining 99% is just happy with right. whatever happens.
So then those people who do speak out create the perception that more people feel that way than maybe actually do. But you know, I feel like the burden is on the public to rectify that.
A lot of feedback has been given both to you and to us in recent weeks with the spate of gun violence that has been happening in Galesburg in various forms throughout really this whole year. Do you think it's as bad as we're making it out to be?
You know,
or some people make it out to be, I should say.
Yeah, I know it's I don't know. I think any gun violence obviously is too much. So we can start with that. We could look at our neighbors, similar sized cities, and see do we have more gun incidents than they do. I think that's an important thing to do. I've talked with Robert Connolly, our police reporter, and we're going to look at the number of gun incidents over the past several years and see what do the facts say. Is it just a perception? I mean, we've had some real tragedies in Galesburg, and then a big scare at the Railroad Days Carnival.
Yes.
And you know, those things really permeate a town, and it's kind of hard to pull the emotion back out of that and look at the facts. But I think we need to look at the facts and not necessarily separate them from the emotion, but put it all together into a package. And at the end of the day, we've got to address the violence that's happening in Galesburg, regardless if it's more or less than other towns or more or less than it's been in the past. It's something that needs to be addressed with a variety of short-term and long-term solutions.
I tend to think that along with a lot of other different types of things that we're just more aware of it now maybe than we used to be.
It could be. I think somebody posted on Facebook that maybe our police reporter was doing too good of a job.
Ours too, then, yeah.
And yeah. But, you know, we're seeing, it feels like we're seeing a lot more reports where guns are involved than we have in the past. So, you know, that's the perception that I have. I think people in the community, are starting to talk about it, and you know, I'm hopeful that we can make some changes.
I'm almost out of time, but I want to wrap up on maybe some good things here, and one of those, you know, kind of again, this probably gets Steve Davis back into the picture along with a lot of other people. You've kind of in some ways regionalized sports coverage in some ways, and I think that's sports is along with news a real big strong suit for you.
Yeah, well, we did this a few years back. I don't know if it's maybe 4 or 5 years now. Jackson White is really heads up WCI Sports, West Central Illinois Sports. So we cover 24 high schools, and we really go to the mat on Football Fridays, and then we try to cover all these teams, provide statistics for them, the leading rushers, and all that kind of information. So what we're trying to do is we use our other dailies in the area to try to add another layer of prep football coverage and then prep basketball coverage. We ease up a little bit in the spring, but yeah, it's an exciting thing. And I think Jackson White does a great job, and Steve Davis, he gets called on to go to a lot of places.
Exactly. He certainly is. Finally, I have about a minute here, Tom, but you were telling me that you're kind of changing the look of the newsroom upstairs. And I say upstairs because technically, of course, we share a building and we just kind of rent space from you guys. But that newsroom part of this shared building here is sounds like it's going to get a little bit of a different look to it.
Well, yeah, we're trying to do make it a little bit more of a better place to work, really. But the big thing is that we have about half the people that we did.
Yeah.
So it's cavernous. It looks like it's still from the 1970s. It hasn't changed much. We don't have anything on the walls. And so, I was at the Chicago Tribune newsroom and was just kind of inspired to put some of our best work and some of our historic work on the walls,
yeah,
and make this a place. And I think you guys do that here a little better than we do. But
yeah, just over your shoulder is a picture of Eddie Gale that's on the walls, among others, here in our studios.
Yeah.
And I think we definitely have. And I imagine that kind of, you kind of think of maybe something as being cavernous and deep and maybe at some points empty, that, and filling that up and making things look better can, I imagine, improve morale, right?
Yeah, and we're all working on laptops, so we're kind of create kind of a lounge area so you can take your laptop and write a story on a couch.
I've dreamed about that.
Yeah. We won't allow radio guys to come up.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to move the mouse when I edit the audio when I'm sitting on a couch because that doesn't work well with a laptop. But that's a good thing, and I know you've worked hard over the years to keep the Register Mail vibrant and active and the best of journalism, I think, quite frankly. And I've always said that kind of Galesburg is maybe unique in terms of other communities of this size, and that we have the ability between us and the Register Mail of being able to cover so many different things and tell so many different stories. I think that ultimately makes us all better.
Yeah, it's a good news town. I think we have a good relationship with your station and your news people. So, I feel like if you live in a town the size of Galesburg, you don't deserve a lesser brand of journalism. You deserve the same brand that they get in Chicago or Philadelphia or wherever it may be.
Darn right. Tom Martin, editor of the Register Mail. We're out of time. We'll have to have you back sometime and talk more about the paper and issues and other things like that. Thanks so much again for coming
all
in
right,
today.
All right, anytime, Will.
All right, Tom Martin, editor of the Galesburg Register Mail on Galesburg Live. When we come back in our 8 o'clock hour, Jennifer Junis, president of OSF St. Mary Medical Center, joins us. Talk about changes in journalism. We'll talk about changes in patient care, among other things, when we come back as Galesburg Live continues on WGIL. But first, news is next.